due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
You know what else I love?
What?
Ice cream.
I love ice cream too.
No, ice cream.
Delicious, yeah.
Ice cream. And pickles.
Oh. Oh, you want me to... Ice cream and pickles. You want me to get you ice cream
Unless
and pickles.
Unless you want me to eat these flowers.
No, please don't eat the flowers. I'll get you ice cream and pickles. Non-fat...
Non-fat?
No, full fat.
What are you trying to say?
No.
That I'm fat?
No.
You just said you are fat.
No, I... Ice cream and pickles.
Why don't you go?
I'm going to go get you ice cream and pickles. Ice cream and pickles. Ice cream and pickles.
What kind of man taps out to a woman?
This is Booker T coming to you from the Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Now, can you dig that?
The time has come to relieve that pain. Which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans and Eagle fans out there alike, if you got to hear a little bit of that, I'm the Cash Man. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for July 13th. Holidays today, real quick. It's Barbershop Music Appreciation Day. Are you guys ready to do some barbershop music?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, that will not happen. Maybe a little happy anniversary from the Flintstones. That's about as close as we get to barbershop here. Also, it's Embrace Your Geekness Day. I think that you're listening to this show. Obviously, you are embracing your geekness. And is it geekness? Tell me, Furby, is it geekness that we are fans, wrestling fans, deep wrestling fans?
Absolutely not.
No, it's not. It's not a geek issue.
Nerds.
All right. Well, embrace your geekness wherever that may be. It's Fool's Paradise Day and National French Fries Day. So I hope to get some French fries and celebrate along with everybody. Happy birthday to former guest and WWE superstar Sean Waltman. He's 47 today. I want to let you know the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Join us July 27th for UFC 240 at Salvatore's Saloon, Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. 10 p.m. start time, so get there early. We want to thank everybody who came out for UFC 239. It was a great card from top to bottom. Some incredible knockouts.
How about the knockout from Jorge Masvidal?
Yes, Masvidal for knocking out the big mouth amateur wrestler who thinks he can beat everybody. What was his name?
Ben Askren.
Yeah, Ben Askren, the guy who trained CM Punk.
Yep.
Ben Askren's one of the guys who was a trainer with him. So, and Ben Askren was out in what? To me, I thought it was more like 3 seconds. It was five.
It was definitely like 2 seconds.
Yeah, I did not.
The ref was too slow.
Without a doubt. So that was last week. That was incredible. We had packed house. Of course, John Bones Jones in the main event won. Can't take that away from him.
Not at all.
It was not a crazy, decidingly big win like he's had in the past.
And in that fight, Thiago Santos tore his ACL, MCL, and PCL.
Yeah, he was limping around. You could see his legs shifting up and down the whole fight. It was pretty... And still, he almost beat John Jones, too, because he has a puncher's chance. He's one of those guys with a puncher's chance.
It was very close on the scorecard. It was pretty decisive. I mean, I honestly thought Santos probably won that fight.
I was thinking that, too. And it reminded me a lot of some other fights Jones has squeaked by. And so, but this was like, you know, this has been his third fight now back from not testing positive for anything. And maybe people are catching up. Maybe it's time for him to move up. A lot of people are saying it's time for him to go to heavyweight. We'll see. There'll be more people. If that guy got him that close, there's some other people in line that can just as well.
He just does not look like the same fighter, honestly.
No, he doesn't. He definitely, and he was worried. You could tell he was scared the whole time the dude was going to knock him out. He would not get too close to him. So got that going on. So check us out. That'll be July 27th. That's at the end of the month, last Saturday of the month, UFC 240. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the show today. I'm the Cash Man. I am joined by Eric Wolf.
Yeah, the Wolf Man, the punk rock supernova of professional wrestling.
That's right, Eric Wolf. We were, you know, he had another name before that, but we were going to go with his real name.
The artist formerly known as Eric Eminon, the horse with no name, the wrestling workhorseman of Ohio, the greatest of all Toledo. I got a ton of them.
I can't do the double E's and the double, you know.
It's okay. It's okay.
We'll be good with that.
He can have it.
He can have it. So we're also joined by Furby again. Furby, how's it going, buddy?
It's going great.
How was Batman night at the Red Wings game?
It was fantastic. I made my fifth appearance as King Tut. It was great. Great show. We had Corey Michael Smith there. He was such a genuine guy. It was.
Now, was he better than the guy who played Batman the year before?
I honestly...
The kid?
I think, you know, Corey Michael Smith is my favorite character on the show, being the Riddler, also known as Enigma. He was great on the show, and he was great to have there at Frontier Field.
Cool. I was going to say, and they had a great crowd. This last homestand's been unbelievable, you know, with Pride Night last week and everything. And it's just, you know, good for the Red Wings. They're playing great, and the crowds are coming out now. So that's awesome. And nice to see you again. I know last week you had other problems or other businesses to do besides us. And now the people that were here last week are no longer here this week. So Danger and Double B, Brian Burke, are in the hot tub of love up in Niagara Falls. They're cleaning it out. See, that's what happens when you don't show up for a week. You get dictated to the hot tub of love. So that's where, you know, maybe you're there with... what's his name? Rock star Spud and his new wife, Drake Maverick. Sorry, no, I don't even want to picture that. But
that's wonderful.
So we're going to talk about things. Whatever you want to talk about, 222-1280 *1280 is the number. You also can text us at that number as well. Please do text us and give us a call. I'm going to answer this one in just a second. But what I want to throw out first is thoughts about Kevin Owens this past week and, you know, his kind of shoot-like situation with Shane McMahon, which apparently drew the boys to the monitors in the back.
It was great. I got to say, the whole Kevin Owens character development this week, over the past 7 days, has been so good. The fight in the parking lot with Dolph Ziggler, everything building up, the emotion, the raw emotion you felt. Like, you always see the fights in the backstage area, and you're like, oh, that's the WWE. But when you see a fight in a parking lot, I don't care who you are, it gets the blood pumping.
It's amazing because it actually feels real.
Yeah.
And it is what it is, because I think this is what they wanted to do with Kevin Owens coming out of the WrestleMania break. And then they had to scrap all plans, obviously, you know, going to Saudi Arabia.
Absolutely.
And now they're really getting the side out of Kevin Owens that they wanted. And, he's going to give you everything that you could ever want as a wrestling fan. He's fantastic, whether he's heel, face. And he's great on the mic, and he's going to give us what we actually want.
You know, the best thing about Kevin Owens is he can make a great match with anybody. And I've seen that when he was on the indies, when he was doing indie matches, he would have the best match of the night every night.
He's so agile. Yeah. He is so unbelievably agile. When he was wrestling with the Young Bucks and Pro Wrestling Gorilla, backflipping everywhere, keeping up with the Young Bucks, who are arguably some of the most acrobatic guys I've ever seen in my entire life, aside from Ricochet. But yeah, Kevin Owens, the promo he cut on SmackDown, the raw emotion he cut and made you feel in Shane McMahon walking over to the production that was hard cam side and asking them to turn off everything, and then he finally grabbed the headset and started speaking into the headset. You're not going to silence Kevin Owens. This is, and the thing is he's been speaking everything I've been speaking on this show for the past like month and a half, 2 months now.
Sure.
That one, he's not the best in the world, Shane McMahon. Two, there's so many people in the back that they must be listening to the show, because this is exactly what I said. There's so many people in the back that are literally some of the best wrestlers in the world, and they're not getting their due because Shane McMahon is at the helm. He's at the forefront, and he is claiming to be the best in the world.
I think we could just play Kevin Owens' pipe bomb for the next 50 minutes, and we'd all be happy.
Absolutely.
I loved it, yeah, because every time they cut off an angle in which he could, an access for him to address the public, Shane would shut it off. He'd shut off another mic. He'd shut off another mic, and then so he grabbed the headset from the announcers who were live on TV, and then they had to go to break to get rid of them.
But it was phenomenal. And then the Stone Cold Stunner. Can we talk about the Stone Cold Stunner?
He, you know, and Stone Cold has even given him his thumbs up on, you know, not being, you know, not, he was, Stone Cold was critical of John Cena doing that bouncing stunner off the ropes.
Yep.
But he doesn't care. He says that Owens does it perfect every time. You
yeah,
know?
That's because there's a science. And there's Owens a science to
I'm
the stunner.
I'm pretty sure Owens started doing it a little bit last year, right before his double knee surgery. And then now it's the perfect persona for him.
Yeah,
I love it. But what do you think about it there, Eric? I mean, he, you know, he does it perfect every time.
It's great. Yeah. I think it's phenomenal. And there was literally that moment where he gave Shane the stunner. And I had a flashback to being 10 years old watching Stone Cold stun Vince McMahon. It really did feel like that to me. And I was excited. I was genuinely excited. And watching him scatter away from the ring and run away after it happened was just awesome.
Now we just need the Vince McMahon flop around like a fish in the ring.
You know, the funny thing is, every time I see back to the shots of the original stunner on McMahon, I always see how badly Vince McMahon took it.
Yeah.
You know, and how he flopped. He flopped. When he came down, he kind of flopped. But it's like he didn't fall correctly when Steve Austin was doing it. But that is like the most historic stunner in the history of this company.
Absolutely.
And it was done so poorly.
I got to say, though, between stunners, if we're going to argue who has the best sell for the stunner, it will always and forever be The Rock.
Yes, the way he sold.
Absolutely.
He would bounce up, fly over the top ropes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, him or Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels is pretty good at overselling.
Yeah, okay. Ask him about Hulk Hogan, yeah.
I'm going to go out and say probably the most underrated take of the stunner, Xavier Woods.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Xavier Woods sells it like The Rock does. He, like, his head goes flying back. He like, launches like a missile backwards. Very funny times. So we're going to go to the phones right now. If you want to give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. We got Mike here from Rochester. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing good.
I wanted to call. I'll talk about SmackDown in a minute, but I wanted to tell you guys, I don't know if you saw this morning's G1 Climax, but it's a really, really good show if you get a chance to check it out. There was three terrific matches, especially the one with Juice Robinson and Shingo Takagi.
Uh-huh.
It was excellent. And they actually had Tori on, who actually beat Tetsuya Naito, which I thought was shocking.
Really?
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet, so...
Well, this is the second part, right? Is it?
This is the first night of B Block.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, because they were doing A Block last weekend.
Correct.
Which was unbelievable, by the way,
yes.
As well.
Yes, and what I liked about it is now... Unlike the WWE, like when somebody loses, like when Rey Mysterio loses in a minute to Bobby Lashley, the first thought that all the fans have is that the guy's being buried because you don't have faith in their booking. If you look at the G1 now, five of their top seven guys have lost their first match. Tanahashi, Kota Ibushi, Will Ospreay, Naito, and Jay White lost to Hirooki Goto. So in any other promotion, you would be worried about, man, are they burying these guys? But the reality is, Ghetto has such a good track record as a booker, you know that it's going somewhere. So I like the unpredictability of the G1 so far. I think it's going to be a great tournament.
And it's been fun so far, definitely. I definitely have to catch up on that. I DVR'd it, so we'll see.
Right.
Yeah, but cool. Yeah, so yeah. That yeah, and then you know what? You guys want to see some, and this is all in Dallas, right? Or no, not, is it, where is it now?
Well, now they're back in Japan now.
That's right, they're back in Japan.
The rest of the tournament's in Japan. It's just that first night was in Dallas.
It was like the first two nights, wasn't it? Or was
no,
it,
just, it was just the one night, last Saturday night.
Okay, because that was, and then, you know, the coolest thing about it, it started at 6. And it was done.
Yeah.
It was done by 10. So
yeah, they did so because the UFC show was that night, so they wanted to get off the air so the UFC pay per view, so you can conceivably watch both if you wanted.
They catered it for me because that's exactly how it went in my house. We watched it from 6 to 10, then ran to Salvatore's at the garage door to host the pay per view. So
yeah, exactly. So the reason why I was calling was that everybody's all excited about Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff taking over Raw and SmackDown, and I gotta tell you, as long as Vince McMahon's in charge, it doesn't matter, because I thought Raw this past Monday was same old, same old. Like, the first and last segments of those shows were just mind-boggling bad. It's just bad. Like, how can you have a mixed tag match when you have a stipulation where the men can only go against the men, the women could go against the women, but then make an elimination match? Like, how can you do that? It makes no sense.
No, it does. It kind of left the man hanging in the corner of the rest of the match.
Yeah, it's like, so what would have happened if Andrade beat Seth Rollins? How could Becky have gotten in the ring with Andrade?
True.
I think that's what they're working towards, though. I mean, we have seen a lot of transition between, you know, men and women being separate in professional wrestling. I mean, Impact did just have their first main event with a man versus a woman.
Yes, and that was actually a good match.
Exactly.
Tessa,
and so
Tessa Blanchard's awesome.
And I think what's happening now is we are seeing that transition to, and I mean, we did see it where Becky Lynch did hit Baron Corbin.
Yeah, I'm fine with the transition. I'm just saying you got to make it where it makes sense.
Yeah.
Don't make it an elimination match. Just make it a regular mixed tag match. That's all.
But they didn't want to do the same thing that they're going to do on the pay-per-view because that's how it's going to work on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. Yeah. So is this a scenario where Becky Lynch might pin Baron Corbin?
I think so, yeah.
Is that how they're going to finish this match?
I really do think so because, they've been building Becky Lynch as the man. Seth Rollins came out with the man's man t-shirt, you know, so yeah. I think they are trying to really push her as being
what a good boyfriend.
Exactly. You know what?
Yeah.
Royalties roll in, I don't think he cares.
Thing in a company, so I'm fine with that if that's what they end up doing.
So, you know what? That is a perfect t-shirt for Pride, you know, Pride Week.
Absolutely.
Yes,
you know, so,
exactly.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know if they see it that way, but that's you know, it, I mean, if you're not a fan of wrestling and you see that, what do you think, you know? So,
and I want to get to you guys were talking about before I came out about the Kevin Owens stuff. Listen, I'm a big Kevin Owens fan. I think he's one of the top wrestlers in the entire world. I agree with you guys, babyface heel, no matter what, he's going to do the best he can. But the only problem I have with it is I know this company, the fact that they have a segment like that, they're going to think that Shane McMahon is getting over as a heel, so now he's going to get pushed even more. And to me, that's the problem. The problem is that the McMahons need to get off television completely. So while everybody's excited about the Kevin Owens thing, I'm not, because it's not about him. It's about the fact that Shane McMahon's involved in a major storyline where he shouldn't be on TV at all.
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, I think we're working our way towards that. That's definitely, WWE does a lot of research on every single thing they do on TV. They have focus groups. They've, you know, I'm sure you've been emailed before asking.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Yeah. And I tell them everything to do, and a lot of times they do the opposite. It's just like, I know why the teenage demographic is down. The teenage demographic is down because they keep looking to the past. And you guys are talking about with the nostalgia of Steve Austin and McMahon, but that's the problem. You got to look forward. You can't look through the rearview mirror. You got to look through the windshield. You got to look forward. And I think that that's been their biggest problem. Like The Undertaker. The Undertaker is done. He should not be wrestling anymore. And it's just little things like that that's a problem. And looking towards Eric Bischoff, who's been a failure for the last 18 years, I don't think is the answer. That's just my opinion.
No, I don't know, Danger, if he was here, would say that Eric has had success. Eric is more of an executive kind of guy, so that's why they want someone who can work with the Fox people.
Absolutely.
You know, and he's got his own production company, but when it comes down to it in the long run, I think Eric will have nothing to do with creative. A lot of people give him credit for the NWO, you know? I mean, it's something that he saw in Japan that he stole, you know, and which everybody kind of does. And I mean, right now we're kind of getting getting a little bit of the Bullet Club or the club, whatever they are.
Which is phenomenal.
Which, you know, is about time. And that's the thing I say, keep going with that and then see what happens, because it kind of built up when it was the Bullet Club. It took a little bit at the beginning and then it got on fire. They could easily, you know, I'm waiting for them to start the angle with Finn, you know, hey, we're your guys, come join us. And, you know,
he could
be the Diamond Dallas Page against the NWO, you know, which Diamond Dallas Page spent 2 years fighting the NWO, turning him down every time they offered, you know.
If only we get another Ready to Rumble movie, WWE style, I'll be okay with it.
Yeah,
I was just talking about.
I'm just sick of authority figures. I just think that it's such a passe thing now in 2019. I just think that you should just do matches.
Oh, that's what Heyman said. That's what Heyman said. He said, I don't want any authority figures.
Just do matches.
Yeah, I don't. He goes, I don't want authority figures on my show. That's one. The first thing I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, and to me, he's right. You gotta go with the modern day wrestling audience. The modern day wrestling audience just wants matches. They want high quality matches like they're gonna get with the AEW and the Evolve shows tonight. Both shows are gonna have really good matches up and down the show, and that's what people want.
And we get Fighter Fest and the Evolve 10th anniversary. Is that no? That's not Fighter Fest. What's the one?
It's the Fight for the Fallen.
Fight for the Fallen, which is a free show. I'm not sure where you guys can see it. We'll look it up during commercial.
Bleacher Report.
Bleacher Report. Once again, the same one last week that they were.
Correct.
So you can go to Bleacher Report and see that, or WWE is offering Evolve 10 on the network, which Gabe Sapolsky is super happy about because he's involved with that. We've had Gabe on the show. You know, Gabe was one of the geniuses behind Ring of Honor, the beginning of Ring of Honor.
He would be my pick to be the one running SmackDown instead of Eric Bischoff, quite frankly.
Yeah, well, you know, I met first Gabe. He was selling programs outside of ECW show in Buffalo. That's what one of his jobs was, uh-huh, was to sell the programs.
Right.
And so we used to sit there and talk with him. I didn't realize this was the same guy who, like, you know, as soon as he kind of was like a creative guy at the end of ECW, immediately was Ring of Honor. Once he left Ring of Honor, things had kind of changed a little bit. But, Gabe, I love Gabe. Believe me, Gabe's a smart wrestling fan.
Yes,
he's got ties to Buffalo, too. His wife, I think, is from Buffalo. So
I believe she is, yeah.
Yeah, he's up here often. But, that tonight, man, it's going to be a lot of fun if you get a chance to watch either of these shows. And you got to call back next week and tell us what you thought about him, okay?
Absolutely, we'll do.
Okay, man, we got to go to break. Thanks for calling,
right,
man.
Have a good day, guys.
You too, guys. We're going to go to break. We're going to think about that for a while. We're going to come back. We got some more. I mean, we talked a little bit about Kevin Owens, but there was some other stuff going on. There's a pay-per-view this weekend, Extreme Rules. It's happening in Philadelphia.
Let's go.
You know, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
We manipulated those two nasties.
Look, I wonder what's going to happen to Becky when Seth loses her title.
I wonder what's going to happen to Seth when Becky loses his title.
Do you think this is going to affect their relationship? I mean,
I don't owe you or anyone else an explanation. Get out of my face.
Tonight, when we get out of here, I'm going to show the world what a great 24/7 champion I am, and I'm going to show you what a great husband I am as well. And then, I'm going to give you the honeymoon that you deserve.
Really?
Really.
All right. Until then, and only then, you can consummate our marriage.
Really?
Really.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yes! I'm going to get it all with my wife! Woo!
This is Kane from WWE on 1280 WHTK, Rochester's Sports Talk.
nothing says getting it on with your wife more than Kane. No.
Ooh.
Welcome back. 24/7 still seems to be one of the most interesting things on Monday night and Tuesday nights at times. I'm enjoying, what's his name again? I keep wanting to call him Rockstar Spud.
Oh, you're talking
Drake
about
Maverick.
Yeah.
Yes, he was Rockstar Spud at one time. He was JB. JB worked with him a lot and down in Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
He got to do like a lot of funny stuff. Like, it's funny when R-Truth calls him Hornswoggle, because when he left Impact Wrestling, he had this huge feud with Hornswoggle, and Hornswoggle kept beating him all the time. And so,
Swoggle's great.
Yeah, now when he gets called Hornswoggle by R-Truth, I just kind of chuckle because it's like, Impact fans are probably enjoying that a little bit too. But welcome back to the show. I'm the Cash Man. I'm here with Eric Wolf.
Hey.
The Wolf Man.
Yeah, we need that sound clip.
All right. And Furby's joining us again this week. He's got his New Day shirt on. Big New Day fan.
Absolutely. Had to represent, Kofi at Mania. So this is the exact shirt that I wore at WrestleMania 35.
Hey, how was WrestleMania 35?
I was sicker than a dog, so it was miserable. I had pneumonia and the flu.
Oh, there you go.
And having to walk up those steep steps to the last row was awful, but I enjoyed myself.
When I was there for WrestleMania 29, I believe, I sat so far away, I had to watch everything on the monitors, and there was a giant giant palm tree in my way of the ring. I mean, because they use these palm trees kind of like on each of the corners of the ring, and so it blocked out a major portion of the ring for me.
I have to say, I wasn't really blocked of my view. I could see everything in the ring, but if we go back to WrestleMania 33, I was there in Orlando. I missed about three matches because of the lighting. And I don't know, if you go back to the women's elimination match, you can hear my section chanting, "Turn the lights off, we can't see."
Oh, you're getting blinded. Yeah, I remember hearing that, too. I remember when we were watching that.
What was it? Orton's match, too, right? It was just straight yellow light all the way up to the section?
That one, I'll be honest, I was grabbing beer in, so okay. I don't know.
Adult beverage time. Your irises are burned out at that point anyway. So, I remember hearing that because you could see that the lights were zipping across the heads of everybody in like certain areas,
I was lucky enough to see Jeff Hardy jump off the ladder because he was above the lighting.
Man, that's those are things, you know, that you have to deal with when you go to the biggest show of the year. Did you get to do any of the access stuff before it? Or, well, you were sick, so I mean, were you sick like, I mean, a couple days going into it?
This year, all I did was Mania. Back in Orlando, I did the whole package, but this year, just kind of rested, went to the event, and called it a day.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there. I went to the same place, and it was like 45 degrees when we got there, and it never really warmed up that much more than that. Maybe 50, but there was cloud. There was like maybe a little sprinkle of rain one point during the show, but before the show started. But we were out in the parking. The best thing was the parking lot, man, because it's like all the impersonators were out.
Yeah.
You know, this time it was Punk and Paul Heyman, and there was like we have a picture of three Punks and Paul Heymans all standing together from walking around out in the parking lot. Which was incredible. It's like there was a guy who, this is not just promoting WWE, but I will say that when I never expected to see a guy open up the back of his van, pull out two giant speakers, and a band came out and played everyone's introduction music, and it was like hours of this. They were playing everyone's intro music, and it was like they had a generator, they had a crowd around them.
That's wild.
There might have been a fire can out in front, So I mean, this is the kind of things you see in the parking lot when you're doing some pregaming before we got there at 10 in the morning. Okay. I mean, DC, his wife, my son, and I, and we started early. Actually, it may have been a little bit later than that, but it was still hours and hours and hours before. Parking lot was empty when we got into it.
Wow.
So we could pick anywhere we wanted to park. So, and then actually, WWE had sent people out to the parking lot to interview people. And so we were in the background, a couple of their shots, just doing some of the network stuff. Maybe it was for the DVD. I'm not even really sure. I've never gone back and actually watched what the extra production stuff they did. But that was the one where Triple H caught on fire when he was taking on Undertaker. It was Undertaker and CM Punk, and Triple H, I can't remember, Brock Lesnar, yeah. And he had gotten like something on him, and it caught on fire when he was like coming down to the ring. It was like a protective coating on him or something. And
wonderful.
We had Shawn Michaels on the next week, who was with him that time, and he's telling us about, yeah, we were trying to put him out, and he was like, because something caught fire on his, he had glistening body, and it was like whatever they used to make their body shine caught fire as he walked through some sparklers or whatever. So, we're just reminiscing a little bit about this, now there's a show tonight in town, right, Eric?
Yeah, we have Upstate Pro Wrestling. It's Skull Wrestling Productions presents UPW's Red, White, and Bruised. It's at Pineapple Jack's tonight in Rochester, New York. Doors open at 5:30. Show is at 6. They got some pretty good matches coming up tonight. They've got a UPW Heavyweight Championship match. Carter Mason, who is the champion, versus Cloudy. The UPW Tag Team Championship, The Process versus the champions, Rhythm and Booze, as well as a street fight with Matic versus Ghost. The new champions.
Yeah, didn't they just get it this week in Penn Yan? Yeah.
Yes, they did.
I saw it because we got a text message from Champ there, who's their manager.
Yep.
I'll read real quickly. It says, he calls himself the Colonel, cordially invites you 6 p.m. today to Pineapple Jack's Rhythm and Booze Outlaw Championship Homecoming Beer Bash. The three guys that grew up winning every prize you guys had until you changed the rules. Which is true. They used to call me back when we started in the 90s. I don't want to show our age or anything, but these guys used to win everything on the radio.
That's great.
They tried different names. They do all sorts of stuff. Then we made rules saying you can't win unless it's like 30 days. And it's like, what?
That's wild.
Yeah, so, but nevertheless, keep going. I just wanted to interrupt you for
a second. So, yeah, we have a few other matches that have been announced. We have Defiance and Matt Lawson versus Wessler University, Jeremy Jensen versus Dick Justice, and then Cheech and Cameron versus Icon Ace and Anthony Gaines, the most viral superstar of our generation.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's the one who took the bump that flew outside the ring.
Absolutely, yeah.
Was that a couple of years ago now?
I think it was like within the past year.
Okay. Because I remember he was bouncing off the ropes.
Yeah, he took the pounce and he ended up in the entryway.
Yeah, he was
over
he
the top rope.
Over the top.
He flew.
Yeah,
and he was everywhere. He was all over the news. He was on ESPN. He was everywhere.
That actually showed up on my shared stories on my Facebook page about a couple of days ago. So brings back great memories.
Yeah, yeah, it was phenomenal. It was still one of the coolest things I think I've seen.
Now the
in
thing
pro
is,
wrestling.
Is if he had died, then it would have changed everything.
Oh, he wouldn't have died. He'll bounce back. No pun intended. He'll bounce back.
It's amazing how smoothly he goes over that top rope.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so very cool. So if you want to check that out tonight, Pineapple Jacks, that's going on. It's what's it called? Red,
White, and Bruised.
Red, White, and Bruised. And it's always a good show. And like I said, and like I've always said, you can go WWE show like we did at WrestleMania, and they have pineapple trees in front of you, palm trees in your way, or you can go to a place and spend a third of what it would cost to get in for a front row seat and have guys land on you, possibly.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, you can become part of the show, not intentionally sometimes, you know? So definitely check that out tonight. But we've got a pay-per-view this weekend, the Extreme pay-per-view. I'm trying to see, is there any big news? Oh, did you guys watch the ESPYs this past week?
I did not, no.
Roman Reigns comes out and wins the first WWE ESPY for the moment, best WWE moment, with him coming back from his remission of leukemia, which I thought was great. And you know the weird thing, and this is really weird, it's like, and I know you guys, I don't know if you know or not, but I had leukemia. I was, in 2002, I was diagnosed with leukemia. I mean, we were doing this show when it happened, too. But it's the same leukemia that Reigns has and the same one that now was Carlos Carrasco
from the Indians.
From the Indians. Yep. It's, you know, it's one that's very treatable. And it's like, and so it's just always amazed when, some celebrities get the same thing that I got, that I can maybe even, you know, send out some advice to them, you know, over treatment, because it's what happened to me in 2002. So that's like 17 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's really pretty cool that, I mean, it's not cool that these guys have it, but it's very treatable. But yeah, so that was the big news. And I didn't see that. I didn't watch the ESPYs because I usually, there's a lot of inside jokes on the ESPYs that maybe I don't get all the time. And then, but you know, I do like Tracy Morgan. So I want to go back and look for like his best gimmicks. You know, and I got to tell you, what's her name? Megan Rapinoe is from the women's team.
Yeah.
She looked pretty good. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I thought she looked pretty hot. I mean,
she was crushing it. She was having the time of her life, and you know what? They deserve it. After Alexander Ovechkin's celebration in the summer of Ovechkin,
yes,
you know, drinking from the Stanley Cup and diving into fountains and not remembering baseball games because he'd been drunk for 8 straight days.
Yeah.
Like, good for him and good for them. Congratulations to them for winning.
And this is what I hate. I mean, we live in a modern era now. Like, let these people celebrate. Like, these are the best in the world, these athletes that do what they do and they win championships, and they're just normal people. They want to have fun. Like, let them celebrate. Like, when people get all this nonsense and they're always bashing people for celebrating home runs or goals, you know, they're just humans. They want to have fun and they're excited.
I'm gonna take a line from Ken Griffey Jr. here. Let the kids play.
Let the kids play. That's right. And you know, and you're right. And you should enjoy. There's, but you know, you like, for instance, a perfect example is baseball. You've got the old school crew there who, if you celebrate too much, you're going to get hit by a ball the next time you come up. You know, and you see,
I want 30-foot bat flips.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just saw something on, what was his name? The guy from the Toronto Blue Jays who did the bat flip. He was an outfielder who hit the home run against Texas a few years ago.
Oh, Jose Bautista.
Jose Bautista, yeah. And they followed him in slow motion from the time he flipped the bat till the time he took the punch to the face.
Yep.
which was only when he was on the base pattern. But you know, yeah, there's people that just, you know, I mean, that's baseball though. There's a lot of old school guys who live, but you know, I power to the women's team. They are great, and I'll admit it. I was up Sunday. I was watching, partaking in it. You had to. It was the final game, and I don't, you know, I find I'm one of the few in this world that probably enjoy a really good soccer game, and that was really good. It was tight. It was never a for sure for either side, And it was and the women did deserve it. You know, I mean, they didn't give up a goal till like the third game or fourth game, I think. And it was almost like an own goal when it happened. So going to go to break on that. So we'll talk wrestling, I promise. We've got extreme rules this weekend. We'll talk about that in the flip side. You listen to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Now, the doctors did tell me that it was going to be a very long time before I came back, but I refused. I rehabbed harder, and I became hungrier. So, I beat the doctor's predictions. And now, well, now I'm back. And I am so ready to go. I'm ready to compete. That's why tonight, I'm going to go ahead and issue an open challenge to anybody in the back that is listening.
Hey, this is Tony, Mr. USA Atlas, and you are listening to the Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show on 1280 WHTK. Listen in, Daddy. Pain.
All right, Tony Atlas. Sorry, we had a little gap there. I was letting somebody in. Trying to do too much at times here, but
you're an overachiever.
Sometimes I just leave the studio, let it go dead. Welcome back. I'm the Cashman. I'm here with Eric Wolf.
Hey,
we're here with Furby and you, and we're here to talk the world of pro wrestling. And did you remember when this was Jeff Jarrett's theme?
Oh, this is wonderful. I haven't heard Kid Rock in eons,
and now he might be this Secretary of Treasure or something like that.
Good for him.
It's a joke. I think it's a joke going around, but he is a cowboy. And I remember having an interview with Al Snow.
Yeah,
at when WWE was in town here, and they were playing music before the show, and the music was and they were turning it up slowly while I was interviewing him, and it got louder and louder and louder until we couldn't hear each other.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so and so then we had to go to another room for the interview. But to welcome back to the show, we're going to talk a little bit about Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Now, Paul Heyman did mention on Monday Night Raw that it is in Philadelphia. It has the name Extreme in it. And, you know, he doesn't give away spoilers. He went out of his way to mention that on Monday, and you know, but you know, I'm guessing we might see Brock Lesnar. I don't know. Hey, we got Andrew the Authority Joseph in here with me. Hold on, let me figure out what Mike, there you are.
Where's my theme music?
Oh, hold on.
You know that clip is older than the show. It's pretty amazing.
You will respect my authority.
There you go.
And Cartman's still going as strong as ever.
He is, and amazingly, isn't it? But they only put out 12 shows a year, so it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah, well, they work overnights to get those shows out.
At times, yeah, because they had try to stump the news from the day before a lot of times. I'm sure they'll have the first one of the next season will have something to do with the women's team winning the World Cup.
Oh, my goodness.
Who knows? But, so we got Extreme Rules coming up. We'll talk a little bit about it. Is it really extreme? I mean, it's in Philadelphia. It's called Extreme. There's a lot of things about it that I don't care for. I don't care for a winner-takes-all Extreme Rules match. You know, whoever pins wins, you know, and both titles move. I don't think we'll see that. But
I'm saying, as long as there's lots of tables, ladders, and chairs, my father-in-law will be very happy. He loves those matches where they use the hardware. Why don't they have, you know, Home Depot or Lowe's sponsor one of these pay-per-views? I mean, come on.
It's a good question. How much does one of those things cost, Eric? You ever have to go out and buy a ladder?
Oh, yeah, they're not cheap.
Yeah.
More often than not, what ends up happening is a promoter will look at you and say, "Hey, man, don't break this ladder." And you say, "Why, friend?" And they say, "Because this cost me $90. And I say, "Okay." And then what do? We break the ladder. Not on purpose, wink, but on accident.
Well, aren't they meant to take the brunt of everything you do out there?
I mean, fiberglass ladders are fiberglass ladders. They'll break if you throw somebody hard enough on them.
Especially right in the center. That's where the laws of physics come in.
222-1280 Star Toys. Remember, we got one of the hosts of the show in the hot tub of love. It's Brian Burke calling in. What's up, buddy?
Actually, I fell asleep in the hot tub of love, something I don't recommend.
So now we're calling you Raisin?
Grady's on pretty.
I had to take a step outside, and I figured if you guys call, see how things are going. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch much this week. I didn't have a whole lot of internet access.
Oh, yeah. But you know, you're the one who's got the biggest story coming. In a couple of weeks, we've got, Ring of Honor guy coming talk about it.
Yeah, Dalton Castle will be at Flower City Mini-Con at the mall at Grease Ridge Center. He'll be appearing from noon to 4, and if things go well, he'll be in studio before that with you guys from 10 to 11.
Let's go.
You guys want to have Dalton come in and hang out with us?
Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Do the boys? Oh, that's right. He's fighting with the boys now. So
I can't afford to get the boys up here anyway, so.
Yeah, we'll just find some boys who, you know, are boys and bring them with them. Who knows? We could be the boys, you know, taking pictures and stuff, you know?
Sign me up.
But cool, man. I'm super excited about that. So, yeah, we've talked a lot about it. I don't know. You've not seen much this week, Brian. Did you see any of what Kevin Owens did on SmackDown?
I did get to see that, the opening, and I thought it was great. I really I've been listening to the show. I agree with a lot of what you guys said. I'm not so sure what I'm looking forward to on the pay-per-view because, again, I missed a lot of what happened this week. So.
I was going to say earlier in one of our breaks, the main events and the mainline matches, I don't really give it anything about. I don't care. But, like, matches like Tony Nese, Gulak, Styles, Ricochet, Usos, Revival, give me all those mid-card matches. Those are the ones that are going to carry the show.
Oh, yeah, and we'll get to see the full-blasted club with AJ Styles when he takes on Ricochet. I don't mind that at all. They're too sweet,
too
right?
Too sweet!
Yeah, we got to see a lot of that too sweet this past week, that's for sure. Well,
what's interesting is if they add the Nakamura Balor to the card and Nakamura wins, you think they would move Balor to Raw to be a part of the club?
Yes, without a doubt. But, you know, he would be the Diamond Dallas Page against the NWO.
I don't know about that. You know, the original club was first Balor, it was Prince Devitt, then Bad Luck Fale was the second member, then it came with Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah.
So obviously Bad Luck Fale is going to be in Japan. He's not coming.
And AJ didn't join until he came over after Impact
after Finn Balor left.
Yeah, after it was already around the same time. It was like Finn Balor left and then AJ took his spot pretty much.
Exactly, and it was too sweet.
Yeah, and now there's like, I don't know, there's other guys that came after that too that, I mean, it's kind of been dissolved, hasn't it?
It's Tama Tonga, who is now supposedly the leader of Bullet Club in Japan. There's another guy too who came on later, but they, of course, all the Tongans all got together on that San Francisco show and destroyed everybody.
Oh yeah, that was great.
That was awesome.
New Japan, was it C1 Climax? I can't remember what show it was, but it was.
They call themselves the Firing Squad.
Yeah, they were awesome, and I don't have a problem at all, especially because their dad of
Tongan Death Grip.
Tongan Death Grips, and you're already going to learn that. But yeah, so we might see. And I think, you know, I don't have a problem if WWE takes the Bullet Club now. They've teased it so much in about the last 3 years. They're finally going to get a chance to work with these guys who made it happen, you know. And I think it has a lot to do with their creativity when it comes to that club and, you know, things that went on. So,
well, with the new contracts that Anderson and Gallows just signed, we better see a lot more of the club.
Absolutely.
Who knows? They're just signing people just to keep them off of other things, you know? And yeah. Like, for instance, we've got the thing today, AEW, you know? We got that going up head-to-head against Evolve on WWE Network, so.
Which, with Evolve, I gotta tell you, I'm so excited to see how much the WWE has been pushing these independent guys. Like, Anthony Green. He's phenomenal. He's been a phenomenal worker for as long as I've known him, and it's so awesome to see him online. And then to see other indie workers be like, "Whoa, I'm headlined on a WWE page right now for my work that's going to be happening at Evolve." Like, this is just we are in the best time of professional wrestling right now.
I hope they do more with Evolve. Honestly, I mean, they've been affiliated with them for how long now, and this is the first time we're going to actually see them on the network. I mean, Keep showing these guys off. They're good workers. Show them out there. I mean, they've had guys on their NXT roster go down, back and forth between Evolve for the last year or so. I mean, the Street Profits won their tag titles down there. I know Fabian Aichner won their main title down there. Like, show these guys off.
Evolve was NXT before NXT,
yeah.
Really. I mean, Evolve, you know, hey, Brian, man, thanks for calling. We got to go to break, dude.
Yeah, no problem. Come on down and see our own Independence and then watch Evolve or AEW afterwards today. I'll be down at the UPW show.
Yeah, so Pineapple Jack, so are you going to be here next week, bro?
I have to work, unfortunately.
Yeah, but this,
I'll try to call in.
You're breaking the third wall here, bro. You know, this is work, isn't it?
Yeah, that too, but yeah. All right.
You should double his salary, Rich.
I'll double your salary. So we're going to go to break. We'll see you soon, Bri.
All right, yeah.
222-1280 star, 1280 is the number. We're going to be back right after this. We're going to talk a little bit about Joey Janela and Enzo fighting at a Blink 182 show.
Allegedly fighting.
I saw the video. Well, there was no fighting going on.
Exactly.
During the video.
Allegedly.
We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
This is the Stinger from World Championship Wrestling, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. It's showtime, folks!
That's all for you old school folks out there who remember who the Stinger was.
They may be remembering sooner than you think, Rich. You know, the hot rumor, WrestleMania, Sting and The Undertaker.
Well, it's got to be better than The Undertaker and Goldberg.
Well, as long as they don't wrestle in 110-degree heat.
Yeah, you know, it's, I feel bad that Goldberg's getting all the heat for that match because Undertaker was just as bad. He hurt him, too.
He's getting the heat?
No, yeah, he's getting the heat. I think he was sloppy as not okay. Goldberg did concuss himself in the first minute of the match, yeah. So that probably did not help the rest of the match. But The Undertaker, that look on his face, if you've ever seen the meme at the end of the match where he has this disgusted look on his face.
I watched it.
Yeah,
it
was, as he's sitting up. Yeah, it's like.
Well, he didn't know that Goldberg was concussed, though. I mean, give. Let's be honest here. I mean, when if you're concussed, your brain is scrambled. You don't know if you're in Saudi Arabia or the North Pole, probably. So, I mean, I'm sure Goldberg wants one more match because he wants to erase that. Basically, like that match never happened.
Having been in that situation, you know where you are.
Yeah.
You know where you are, and you kind of go into autopilot. You know you got a job to do, but the bottom line is that match was just it was not anything. 10 years ago, it would have been great.
No, it would have been. It would have been worse 10 years ago.
Just to watch Goldberg hanging on the ropes after knocking himself out. It was like, where is this going to go?
So we just need to see how the Undertaker does tomorrow night. You know, big tag match with Roman Reigns. You think Roman would carry most of the match, but you never know. And obviously, you know, they're bringing back. They're showing highlights of the McMahon versus the Undertaker match from WrestleMania, which was very memorable for a number of reasons.
For the gimmicked table that Shane McMahon jumped on off the Hell in the Cell.
Yeah. With the big pad under it?
Yeah, with the big pad. You see the wind blow out of it when he hits it? Yeah, you know. Yeah, I remember there's something. I mean, you know, Shane McMahon, you know, could have been dead, and everyone acted like he was dead at the end of that match. But we'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing The Undertaker. The Undertaker wants to. I think the reason he came back so soon is he really wants to make sure his name isn't tarnished by that Goldberg match. I'd be honest with you. I'm completely honest because there's been so many people that said that was so terrible. You know, I mean, it was. I mean, you know, they waited the whole night to do that match and it was terrible.
I think not only that, though, but he's proving right now at this point that he's trying not to be that constant WrestleMania guy now because that's all he was is he'd show up at WrestleMania, wrestle, either put on a stinker or put on a mediocre match and then go on another year. Oh, man, Undertaker's in the best shape of his life. Have you seen his Instagram post? Have you seen his wife's Instagram post? Have you seen him on the internet? He looks phenomenal. And then it's just another meh match, you know? So I think this is Undertaker trying to kind of front load the work, get the ring rust off for a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, I think that's great. Remember, after there's been a couple times after WrestleManias where he's hung around a month or so after that. Remember, he's kind of one of the guys who put over... listen, now I'm having a brain fart. The Shield. He put over, remember the Shield destroyed him?
Yeah.
You know, at the week after WrestleMania?
The triple powerbomb.
Yeah, they put him, and so he hung around long enough to put them over, and so now he gets to maybe get some, you know, reap the success of Roman Reigns a little bit.
You figure he's going to be involved in SummerSlam. If he's wrestling in this pay per view, he's going to be involved in SummerSlam, which is up in Toronto, driving distance.
That's right. And we got NXT the day before. Yeah, we were just looking at some of what they're lining up for that. And actually, NXT is coming. Going to be in Buffalo the day before. They're going to be August 9th. It's a Friday. They're going to. I'm going. I'm definitely.
Where are they going to be?
They're going to be at the Riverside Riverworks, right next to
great spot.
right next to the arena.
Riverworks is kind of across the river from the arena, but it's right behind it. So, and it's beautiful. You can put a zillion people in there. That's what I've done derby. Roller derby's been there a couple times. So,
and they announced that the Fan Fest, they're going to have Becky, Seth Rollins, and Kofi Kingston are all going to be there at the same time.
Really? Yeah. Wow. So it's going to, well, I mean, I remember the last time they were up there for a big deal, it was Goldberg versus Lesnar.
Survivor Series.
And we were there, up there for the NXT, and then we came back and watched Survivor Series at Salvatore's at the garage door. So, but that was, the NXT there, that's where we got to see some incredible matches. Got to see, Shinsuke Nakamura come out to the violin players, which is really, really cool. And, you know, that. Oh, I meant to mention something. I was playing Alexa Bliss coming back, and you wonder where she's been for the last couple of weeks. She's had a sinus infection, a really bad one. And that's why they've had Alexa, what's her name?
Nikki Cross.
Nikki Cross. They have Nikki Cross, you know, and now, what do you think Nikki Cross is getting over big time because of this? Or
I do.
You know,
I really do. She's been, you know, the big thing I saw was we saw emotion out of Bayley. You know, we saw raw emotion. And I loved the segment where, you know, it was just like the straight up attack, you can say, to kind of establish dominance. And I think that's just kind of the mean streak we needed to see out of the goody two shoes Bayley.
Yeah, and I think, just giving the same Bayley week in, week out, year after year, it kind of got a little stale. And, you know, it was great on NXT because it worked. Things on NXT work, but once you get to the main roster, not everybody is that same kind of fan. And we all just kind of got bored of it, and she kind of fell in between the cracks.
Yeah.
Now that she's a champ, she's got to do something else to develop herself. And I think we saw that this week, especially with this feud with Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. And I'm honestly waiting for the whole Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss to just go up in flames.
And it may happen this weekend. I think if they're going to be co-champs after this, if that so happens. But also Sasha Banks, there was teased a little bit in about coming back because they were, you know, kind of poking fun at her, saying, you'll have no friends, you know, or whatever. I was trying to do my impression of Nikki Cross. It's terrible. But, so maybe we could see Sasha Banks show up again this weekend.
I don't know if there's anyone more excited than myself to see Sasha Banks.
All right. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, folks. Well, thank you so much for listening. Remember, in a couple weeks, we just might have a former Ring of Honor champion in the studio with us. But, of course, we'll be here every Saturday. So check us out next week. Body Slam, somebody you love.